It's always good to start, not every sermon, but some sermons with a little bit of Broadway music. You ready for Broadway? The people all said, sit down, you're rocking the boat. The people all said, sit down, you want to sing? Sit down, you're rocking the boat. And the devil will drag you under by the sharp lapel of your checkered coat. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. Sit down, you're rocking the boat. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. You're already sitting. Sit down, you're rocking the boat. You've heard that song before, right? Nicely, nicely from Guys and Dolls. It'll probably be in your head the rest of the day, and I'm very, very sorry. No, I'm not. a bouncy tune. We've always learned that not to stand up in a boat, right? A small boat, especially a canoe. Never stand up in a canoe. You can stand up on a stand-up paddleboard, but we don't stand up in boats. Sit down, you're rocking the boat, because standing up in a boat, unless it's a big boat, is a dangerous thing. Those who rock the boat, now we can get into some, you know, deeper meaning, even through, though history often views them as visionary, are often seen as trouble by whatever people or forces are powerful at the moment. Pastors denounced Reverend Martin Luther King in his call for nonviolent protest. The United Church of Christ and several other Christian denominations have been denounced for their open and affirming stance for LGBT folk. I've actually been denounced by some for blessing people at the Chicago Pride train stop, or the, you know, at the train station for the Chicago Pride parade this morning. It happens. But in this week's reading, it's a little bit different than that kind of rocking the boat. It's not some kind of protest or human anger that is literally rocking the boat. It looks perhaps as if God is somehow active in a storm that rocked the disciples' boat. Jesus woke up during the storm and probably a little bit irritated after being woken up because he needed the nap. He was tired. He needed a break. He told the storm to stop. The Bible translates that as, peace, be still. But can you imagine? Quiet! That's probably more what Jesus said. Translation changed a little bit. All right. Jesus woke up, there was a storm, and somehow God is present in there because the storm stops. But let me state this for another time. I've stated it so many times. I do not now, or will I ever, nor will I ever, blame God for hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and other disasters or tragedies. Anytime someone stands up and says that storms appear because God is punishing folks for something or other, my response is a very succinct, that kind of thinking is full of something. You can fill in the word if you want to.
Fertilizer.
You say fertilizer? The Greek word is skubala. You can look that up. So, what am I to do with a Bible passage where it is definitely possible to think that God is rocking the boat? What's teachable there with storms that rise up? There was a storm when Jesus and the disciples were on the boat. Nowhere in the reading does it say that God caused the storm. It does say that Jesus rebuked the wind and told the sea, peace, be still, or perhaps quiet. It also says that when the storm came up, Jesus was napping. Okay, that's all present there. The Bible, it's filled with God-caused kinds of moments. God caused the great flood. That's in the Bible. God caused the plagues. That's in the Bible. God caused the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's in the Bible. In our lives, maybe they're more filled with God is napping kinds of moments. Like, I prayed and nothing changed. There's innocent people meeting tragic ends. There's gun violence, there's disasters, there's corrupt actions by powerful people. There's people who cause problems and then try to take credit for fixing them. And maybe there's a way to explain at least some of that by saying that the God-caused parts their Old Testament, and maybe that reflects God's people trying to figure out what's going on and trying to figure out how this was happening, and then it got better and God was part of it, and God is not the author of evil. Satan is the author of evil. And sometimes we have to endure punishment for wrong that we do. Or maybe I can go further and say that when tragedies and hardships happen, they aren't related to any kind of wrongdoing by God's people and the expected punishment, but they're a way for God's glory to ultimately be shown. That's a biblical thought. Maybe I can simply say that bad things happen because of the presence of evil. God is the author of all things good. Satan is the author of all things evil. And all of those, while satisfactory and you can find biblical backing for them, they ring hollow. I don't know why bad things happen. I don't know why good things happen. You can see cause and effect, but I don't know on the global scale why that happens. I've got no satisfactory answers on the whole why it happens front. We thank God for God's blessings. We ask God for deliverance from our trials. That's our prayer pattern, right? Maybe there's an obvious, maybe it's a too simple idea. Maybe it's not enough. But how about God is not the one who brings the storm? God is the one that helps to bring us through the storm. Those are comforting words. Those are hopeful words. I think maybe they can provide hope to almost anyone. They aren't an answer to the reason why, because I don't have one. They aren't words upon which everyone agrees. I don't have an easy answer to the questions of God's power, healing, why God does do things, and why God doesn't do things, and why all of that. Nevertheless, God brings us through the storm, can bring a hope. And Jesus' words, probably not quiet, maybe, but the words peace, be still, they're words of comfort and hope. Not a terse one. Maybe it sounded that way, but think of it now. You take a deep breath in. Peace. Be still. Also, remember that those are the words of someone who's a little bit cranky and just got up from a nap. What if the storm in our lives isn't about something huge? What if the things are smaller, maybe less devastating? In the spirit of the phrase, smooth seas do not make a skilled sailor, let's ask the question, when our boat is rocked, does it always serve to make us stronger? Illness. We're healed, we're stronger for the experience. Or are we weaker because we didn't heal all the way? Financial troubles, we make it through. We are wiser for the experience, or are we seven steps backward with no hope of ever getting back to where we were? Panic. We learn how to address the symptoms. We find that we can provide immeasurable help to others. Or do we get caught in this endless cycle of panic and never able to fully realize who we are or what we need to do? Depression. Divorce. Loss of a job. I don't think all of it serves to make us stronger. It can just as easily leave us devastated and broken. So where's the teaching moment in some of those things? Where's the hope? When Jesus woke up, the wind and the waves, they threatened to swamp the boat. His first words there written are peace, be still. After the storm, he said to the disciples, why were you afraid? No, he said, why are you afraid? He didn't say, why were you afraid? His words to the wind and the sea were, peace, be still. I got to think that as he said these words, the disciples heard him as well, and he wasn't just talking to the wind and the waves. There's something the disciples said before Jesus quieted the wind and the waves that I haven't addressed, except in the children's sermon. I'm not going to say much. That's probably a topic for another sermon. But "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? Don't you care?" Why wouldn't the disciples feel that way? I mean, this is Jesus. The boat was about to sink. Jesus was taking a nap. But written in there, part of the narrative, he did care because Jesus was in the boat too. And I think that's what's teachable about today's reading. Jesus does care. It doesn't have to do with the causes of what's the cause of the wind and the rain, and did Jesus really quiet the storm or anything like that? Of course he cared. He said, "Peace, be still." He communicated to the disciples then and throughout his time on earth, throughout his time with the disciples, "Trust me, we will get through this. We're in the boat together. We are in the boat together." And maybe we can all find peace and a chance for rest, maybe even some napping. Sermon's over. You can wake up. Amen.